When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world. You search much deeper
within. Hello, folks, and welcome to the Visions of Love podcast. Today, we're very honored to feature part one of an interview with celebrated Christian author Tracy Peterson. So please stay tuned for that after our musical program. Thank you.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you.
Thank you.
to contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now for part one of our interview with Tracy Peterson.
Well, hello everybody, and thank you for joining us today. We're honored to present a special guest, Tracy Peterson. You probably have read some of her books. Tracy, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, hello. I am Tracy Peterson. I live in Montana with my husband and youngest son. I'm just super glad to be here today. I have written over 125 books. Most of them are historical Christian fiction, which is why I'm oftentimes referenced as the queen of historical Christian fiction. And I love what I do. It's a ministry, and I'm just really glad to share information about it with the readers.
Thank you very much. Well, just getting started in this, let me ask you just for some background. How did you get started writing Christian books?
Well, I always give my mom credit. You know, it's funny, but when I was little, she would give me a piece of paper and a pencil in church to keep me quiet. That was before they had children's church. And she would tell me to write her out a story. And what was really smart, though, was after church, she would give me some of her undivided attention and ask me to tell her what my story was on the paper. And so I credit her with developing the storyteller in me and giving me a passion and a love for stories. In school, writing was always my favorite subject, you know, alongside with reading. And when I got to high school, you had to apply to creative writing to get into the class. And I was rejected and told that I didn't show enough creativity or imagination. I'm the type of person, you tell me no, I just try all the harder. And so I like to tell that, and the fact that I've only got 12 hours of college, so I don't have a degree. I tell people that because my writing is not about me. It's about the Lord. And I truly believe that it's become a ministry that has touched the lives of a lot of people for Him.
So what is it that you want to convey in these books?
I always love to share the gospel message, of course, just to let people know Jesus died for their sins, and He is openly waiting and welcoming them into His fold, and that He loves them, that there is hope. And that's the other thing, to offer biblical application to people who are already saved and who already know God and have their own religious faith. I like to offer biblical encouragement because there's a lot of tough times out there and a lot of really hard things that are happening to people. And so I get a lot of letters from fans who say, oh, I needed so much to hear so-and-so's story because it's my story too. And I get a lot of folks who will write and say that they were just ready to give up, and they read one of my books, and the biblical application just spoke to them. And that is when I see God's hand really in the midst of the work and know that He's taken over, and that's what I want.
So what interests me, too, and I wanted to ask you, how do you come up with different characters and different scenarios?
I do a lot of reading. My husband, in fact, is a historian, and that has always been his background and his interest. And so he does a lot of reading, and a lot of times we will cross-reference things that we're reading, and he'll get me interested in something that he's found, or I'll start talking about something that I've been reading, and he'll know something in addition. A lot of times it's those nonfiction books of history of different places, different things and events that will spark an idea in my head. you know, it might be that I'm reading a book on the San Francisco earthquake or the Civil War or something that has to do with westward expansion. And some little slice of history will pop out at me. The series that is currently coming out is set in Duluth, Minnesota. I found it fascinating that some of the various things that happened in Duluth's history. And so I wanted to share those in a story. And from that, I start creating characters based on the life and the style of living that people in those areas would have. So I talk to the people in the areas, and I talk to historians, and I get a good feel for the time period and read diary accounts. Sometimes there's documentaries to watch. Sometimes there's other history books that I can read. For the last book in this series that'll be set in Duluth, I found a man that was an expert in the Great Lakes sailing. And so I wanted to have one of my characters be a captain on a three-masted sailboat, you know. And so all of these things come together to give me ideas.
Okay. Can you take us through the stages of writing?
For me, the stages of writing are pretty much the same every time. I am reading and get ideas for stories, so I start jotting down notes about those things, and I'll go look for other references and research material on that event or on that area, on the particular people, and I'll start making outlines of stories that I think I could come up with. I usually write three book series, so I will promote three different stories that all fit together in one series to my publisher when I propose a book. And so they can get an idea of where I want to start that series and where it will finish. Once that's approved by the publisher to move ahead, then I start doing some really intense research. Meanwhile, I'm already writing another book. And so a lot of times when I come up with one series idea, I'm working on another series as far as the writing, and then maybe even proofing and doing what we call galleys on the third. So I've got all sorts of things going on at once, but it makes it very nice, I think, for me, because then I don't get bored with any one thing. But once the story idea starts coming together, then I write out a very detailed synopsis. It's kind of a chapter-by-chapter outline of the book. And once I have that in place, then I start writing the book. And my goal is to write a chapter every day. So the first draft I write fast and furious, and I write that one chapter every day. So if I've got a 30-chapter book, I can knock it out roughly in 30 days. But that's just the start. That's just the start. Then every day I go over what I wrote the day before so I can get a feel of getting back into the flow of the story. And about halfway through the book, I stop and put it away for a couple of days. Then I'll come back and I'll read the whole thing from start to the place where I stopped. And that way I get a feel for it as a whole and see if there's anything that I've missed, any threads that I dropped, or any characters that I forgot about or didn't carry through. And so after that, then I start writing the second half of the book. And once I finish that, I do the same thing. I'll stop and I'll go back over it, over the latter half, and then I will go over the entire book a couple of times before I send it into the publisher.
Well, two questions come to mind. Number one, are discrepancies an issue? And number two, do they ever spark further ideas?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I get a lot of ideas from secondary characters will pop up, and I'll think, oh, I'd like to know more about this person's story. For me, a lot of times, the story is the most successful when my characters take over. And I've had that happen so many times where I'll be writing along and I'll think, this character would do this. Why? What's going on? And the character just kind of, because of the way that they've played out in the story, kind of takes over and shows me who they are. And so then that sometimes changes my plot line even. And when that happens, I give my publisher a call and I'll say, they're doing it again. The characters are taking over. And, you know, it's always what I see is just a stronger story, a better way of telling it and making those characters come to life.
So when the characters have taken over, have you been real surprises about how a story has come out?
Yep. A lot of times that is very much what happens. One of the books that I wrote for the Willamette Bride series, I had a character and I had actually written the entire book and just felt like there was something missing. And as I was going over it, I felt like this character all of a sudden out of the clear blue told me, well, you know, I am an atheist. And I thought, wait a minute, what? You know, and I start looking at this character and realizing what a much better character he would be and what a better story of faith he would have if he came from a point of feeling that God didn't even exist. And so I had to rewrite that whole book in order to tell his story in a more fitting way. And had never planned for that character to be an atheist. But it worked,
wow.
And it made the story so much stronger and brought along a depth of his character that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
Have you ever had a novel that you, maybe that you've written or written a large part of it, and you didn't, it would work out, and you scrapped it, and then you went back to it later, and it turned out great?
I have. It's funny because when I was in my early days of writing, I would oftentimes just start writing stories and outlining them and putting them together. And at that point, wasn't maybe even published yet. And so I would put them aside and wait for a time when I thought maybe it would work better, or I would get, you know, I wasn't always so good about detailing my plotting. And to me, that's critical. A lot of people write, just sit down and write by the seat of their pants. And that's fine. That's their way. But for me, I needed that very detailed outline because I like to write fast and I like for the pacing to just keep the reader reading. And so a lot of times I felt that if I didn't outline it, I would lose points of interest, I would lose characters and that kind of thing. So in the early days, a lot of times I didn't detail as well, and so I would get kind of stuck. And so a lot of times I would put that story aside and just think, okay, this isn't working, something's not right. Inevitably, a lot of times what would happen was that wasn't the whole story. That was maybe a character or a piece of a story that, you know, was more of a secondary plot, maybe worked together with several other secondary plots to create the overall plot of this one book. So a lot of times that is what would happen.
Well, hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. We're honored to present a special guest, Tracy Peterson. You probably have read some of her books. And Tracy, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, hello. I am Tracy Peterson. I live in Montana with my husband and youngest son. And I'm just super glad to be here today. I have written over 125 books. Most of them are historical Christian fiction, which is why I'm oftentimes referenced as the queen of historical Christian fiction. And I love what I do. It's a ministry, and I'm just really glad to share information about it with the readers.
Thank you very much. Well, just getting started in this, let me ask you just for some background. How did you get started writing Christian books?
Well, I always give my mom credit. You know, it's funny, but when I was little, she would give me a piece of paper and a pencil in church to keep me quiet. That was that was before they had children's church. And she would tell me to write her out a story or to, you know, tell a story. And what was really smart, though, was after church, she would give me some of her undivided attention and ask me to tell her what my story was on the paper. And so I credit her with developing the storyteller in me and giving me a passion and a love for stories. In school, writing was always my favorite subject, you know, alongside with reading. And when I got to high school, I tried out that you had to apply to creative writing to get into the class. And I was rejected and told that I didn't show enough creativity or imagination. And I'm the type of person, you tell me no, I just try all the harder. And so I like to tell that, and the fact that I've only got 12 hours of college, so I don't have a degree. And I tell people that because my writing is not about me. It's about the Lord. And it's a gift from Him, and I truly believe that it's become a ministry that has touched the lives of a lot of people for Him.
So what is it basically, as a Christian, that you want to convey in these books?
I always love to share the gospel message, of course, just to let people know that Jesus died for their sins, and He is openly waiting and welcoming them into His fold, and that He loves them, that there is hope. And that's the other thing, to offer biblical application to people who are already saved and who already know God and have their own religious faith. I like to offer biblical encouragement, because there's a lot of tough times out there and a lot of really hard things that are happening to people. And so I get a lot of letters from fans who say, oh, I needed so much to hear so-and-so's story because it's my story too. And I get a lot of folks who will write and say that they were just ready to give up, and they read one of my books, and the biblical application just spoke to them. And that is when I see God's hand really in the midst of the work, and know that He's taken over, and that's what I want.
So what interests me too, and I wanted to ask you, how do you come up with different characters and different scenarios?
I do a lot of reading. My husband, in fact, is a historian, and that has always been his background and his interest, and so he does a lot of reading, and a lot of times we will cross-reference things that we're reading, and he'll get me interested in something that he's found, or I'll start talking about something that I've been reading, and he'll know something in addition. A lot of times it's those nonfiction books of history of different places, different things and events that will spark an idea in my head. And, you know, it might be that I'm reading a book on the San Francisco earthquake or the Civil War or something that has to do with westward expansion. And some little slice of history will pop out at me. And like the series that is currently coming out is set in Duluth, Minnesota. I found it fascinating that some of the various things that happened in Duluth's history. And so I wanted to share those in a story. And from that, I start creating characters based on the life and the style of living that people in those areas would have. So I talk to the people in the areas, and I talk to historians, and I get a good feel for the time period and read diary accounts. And sometimes there's documentaries to watch. Sometimes there's other history books that I can read. For the last book in this series that'll be set in Duluth, I found a man that was an expert in the Great Lakes sailing. And so I wanted to have one of my characters be a captain on a three-masted sailboat, you know. And so all of these things come together to give me ideas.
Okay. Can you take us through the stages of writing?
For me, for me, the stages of writing are pretty much the same every time. I am reading and get ideas for stories, so I start jotting down notes about those things, and I'll go look for other references and research material on that event or on that area, on the particular people, and I'll start making outlines of stories that I think I could come up with. I usually write 3-book series, so I will promote 3 different stories that all fit together in one series to my publisher when I propose a book. And so they can get an idea of where I want to start that series and where it will finish. Once that's approved by the publisher to move ahead, then I start doing some really intense research. Meanwhile, I'm already writing another book. And so a lot of times when I come up with one series idea, I'm working on another series as far as the writing, and then maybe even proofing and doing what we call galleys on the third. So I've got all sorts of things going on at once, but it makes it very nice, I think, for me, because then I don't get bored with any one thing. But once the story idea starts coming together, then I write out a very detailed synopsis. It's kind of a chapter-by-chapter outline of the book. And once I have that in place, then I start writing the book. And excuse me, I usually, my goal is to write a chapter every day. So the first draft I write fast and furious, and I write that one chapter every day. So if I've got a 30 chapter book, I can knock it out roughly in 30 days. But that's just the start. Then every day I go over what I wrote the day before, so I can get a feel of getting back into the flow of the story. And about halfway through the book, I stop and put it away for a couple of days. Then I'll come back and I'll read the whole thing from start to the place where I stopped. And that way I get a feel for it as a whole and see if there's anything that I've missed, any threads that I dropped, or any characters that I forgot about or didn't carry through. And so after that, then I start writing the second half of the book. And once I finish that, I do the same thing. I'll stop and I'll go back over it, over the latter half, and then I will go over the entire book a couple of times before I send it into the publisher.
Well, 2 questions come to mind. Number 1, are discrepancies an issue? And number 2, do they ever spark further ideas?
Absolutely. I mean, I get a lot of ideas from secondary characters will pop up, and I'll think, oh, I'd like to know more about this person's story. For me, a lot of times, the story is the most successful when my characters take over. And I've had that happen so many times where I'll be writing along and I'll think, this character would do this. Why? What's going on? And the character just kind of, because of the way that they've played out in the story, kind of takes over and shows me who they are. And so then that sometimes changes my plot line even. And when that happens, I give my publisher a call and I'll say, they're doing it again. The characters are taking over. And, it's always what I see as just a stronger story, a better way of telling it and making those characters come to life.
So when the characters have taken over, have you been real surprises about how a story has come out?
Yep. A lot of times that is very much what happens. One of the books that I wrote for the Willamette Bride series, I had a character, and I had actually written the entire book and just felt like there was something missing. And as I was going over it, I felt like this character all of a sudden out of the clear blue told me, well, I am an atheist. And I thought, wait a minute, what? And I start looking at this character and realizing what a much better character he would be and what a better story of faith he would have if he came from a point of feeling that God didn't even exist. And so I had to rewrite that whole book in order to tell his story in the in a more fitting way. And had never planned for that character to be an atheist. But it worked,
wow.
And it made the story so much stronger and brought along a depth of his character that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
Have you ever had a novel that you, maybe that you've written or written a large part of it, and you didn't, it would work out, and you scrapped it, and then you went back to it later, and it turned out great?
I have. You know, it's funny because when I was in my early days of writing, I would oftentimes just start writing stories and outlining them and putting them together, and at that point wasn't maybe even published yet, and so I would put them aside and wait for a time when I thought maybe it would work better, or I would get, you know, I wasn't always so good about detailing my plotting, and to me that's critical. A lot of people write, just sit down and write by the seat of their pants, and that's fine, that's their way, but for me, I needed that very detailed outline, because I like to write fast. And I like for the pacing to just keep the reader reading. And so a lot of times I felt that, you know, if I didn't outline it, I would lose points of interest, I would lose characters and that kind of thing. So in the early days, a lot of times I didn't detail as well, and so I would get kind of stuck. And so a lot of times I would put that story aside and just think, okay, this isn't working, something's not right. Inevitably, a lot of times what would happen was that that wasn't the whole story. That was maybe a character or a piece of a story that, you know, was more of a secondary plot, maybe worked together with several other secondary plots to create the overall plot of this one book. So a lot of times that is what would happen.
That concludes part one of this interview. We hope that you're enjoying it, and please stay tuned for part two of this interview in 2 weeks. Thank you. Thank you.
hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.